Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Sunshine 106.8. And the IBI is funded by Cumashun na Mban with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
Good morning, I'm Carol Dooley. You're very welcome to join me now for another edition of Hours to Protect. And this is the last episode in the current series on climate change and climate action. Our first episode aired on May the 31st. And over the last 6 months, we have been committed to highlighting the issues facing our planet and the work being done to address those issues. We've also been especially interested in focusing on young people and the environmental concerns that are of particular interest to them. Later this morning, we'll be speaking with sustainability journalist Jo Linehan to talk about career opportunities in the areas of climate action and environmental protection. We'll also be joined by Carol Sadler, principal of Pobelskal Nasson in Baldoyle, who, along with four of her fifth year students, will be talking about their commitment to protecting the planet. But first, I'm delighted to welcome back to the studio Sunshine CEO Sean Ashmore. And Sean, first of all, thank you for taking the time to talk with us this morning. I remember back on the first episode in May, you spoke at length about Sunshine's commitment as a company to sustainability, but you also highlighted how important it is that we as a radio station share with our listeners the information that's out there so that we can all work together to take better care of our planet and as a result help protect our future.
Well, you're right, and I think it's really important that all broadcasters, including Sunshine, kind of do their bit, play their role, and help get the information out there. Because what we've experienced in Series 1, and again this time in Series 2, is that when people have certain basic, simple things to do highlighted to them, that they're quite happy to get involved, get behind it, make it part of their life. And, you know, the queries we get coming into the radio station is, I'm looking to find out more about that, or where can I find out more about that thing that was talked about on the last programme? And, you know, we see the podcast doing really well as well, where people listen back to hear that information again.
And what's so interesting, actually, was that I had thought that myself personally, because this is the second series of Ours to Protect, so I thought that I was pretty clued in and clued up on what was going on. But there are so many things out there that I was not aware of. For instance, when we spoke to Patrick Johnson of Picker Pals, who has come up with this idea and free program for schools, which basically encourages the children and their families to get together to tackle the problem of litter. And it's an incredible program that he's come up with.
I think that's the thing, Carol, that, you know, as you kind of get stuck into this and you go through it program by program, you realize just how much is going on and how many things there are kind of not just in Dublin, but around the country that you can get involved in, that you can support, that maybe you can start doing. And I think that comes back to where broadcasters have a role to highlight this, to kind of shine the light on it, to talk to the people who are involved in it, to hear the story behind why it's happening, and obviously pass on the information that people can get involved or maybe start their own equivalent.
Of course, one area that we very much put the focus on over the last 6 months was on young people and their attitudes and their concerns and how they see the future of the planet and what they feel are the priorities in taking care of the planet. And it was very interesting to listen to local Dublin students talk about the issues that are of concern to them.
Well, I think you're right. And, you know, I suppose if you're of a certain age, you might assume that everybody has to learn from scratch these kind of new skills, new ways of doing things, stuff that's more environmentally friendly. But as you listen to those voices that we've had on air over the last 6 months, you realise that actually, at the younger end of the range, that's how, you know, school kids today, students today, that's how they're thinking and thinking naturally. And it's a great thing to see and hear, and it will give you great hope for the future for how we all look after the planet.
Just to go back to what we were talking about at the start, when you spoke with me 6 months ago about, you know, Sunshine as an organisation, as a company, and our commitment here to sustainability and what Sunshine is doing as a radio station to play our part. And that's very important to you as CEO.
Yeah, and like we've touched on some of these things before where, you know, a lot of the equipment that we now have in use that we've upgraded in recent years is much more energy efficient. You know, around the office, we've replaced all the lights with LED lighting. We've replaced all the light switches with occupancy sensors. We've introduced remote working policies that, again, reduces people's kind of, you know, carbon footprint as they're kind of driving to and from work. And all these things together add up. They're quite simple to do. And I'd say for any business, generally speaking, they always help you save money as well, you know, so it's a win-win situation.
And of course, now there's so much information out there that if you're in any way lost or you're wondering what the steps are, the information is there readily and there's so many organisations there to help you on the path.
Absolutely, yeah. And look, there's lots of information even on the Sunshine website as a starting point with the various programmes that we've done over the last 2 years or so.
So for you then, as CEO of Sunshine and Ours to Protect, this Series 2, what would you say is the most important message in all of that for our listeners? What would you like our listeners to take away from this series?
Well, although this is the final program in this series and it's the second series, you know, it's an ongoing thing. It doesn't end here. We've some plans for further coverage in this area next year, which hopefully we can bring to air early in the new year. But I think the key message is every little bit does help. And, you know, maybe in the context, you know, of a presidential election, every vote counts. Every vote does count, and every little action helps and counts. And if we all work together in the same direction as a population, it can make a big difference.
Absolutely, 100%. Sean Ashmore, CEO of Sunshine, thank you very much. Now, as I mentioned at the start, one of the priorities of this series of Ours to Protect was our young people and the environmental issues that are of particular interest and concern to them. Here's Sunshine's Jane McNamara.
For the final episode in Ours to Protect this series, I spoke to students around Dublin to hear what they've been learning in school about the environment and how to protect it. I also asked whether they could see themselves working in environmental protection in the future.
We're learning how to recycle bottles and plant trays and stuff.
They have bins that like show us where to put like what in it and all.
This year we learned about a man in, I think, the US who made something called Plazoline, which is basically like this, it's like a gas but made from plastic, and apparently it has better emissions than regular gasoline, and it's really good for the environment as well, which could help clean up plastic and also provide efficient energy as well.
When I was in sixth class, you need to protect the trees, obviously. Don't use the washing machine that much.
Yeah, recycling, like just turn everything off after you're done with it and all, like not leaving stuff plugged in and that.
And then when you're finished school, do you know what you'd like to do? And is there any job to do with the environment that you'd be interested in?
I'd be interested with the ocean and the animals and all, because I just like really love animals.
I'm doing green skills, so we're trying to get the biodiversity flag for our school. We are doing presentations in the school so everyone knows about it, and we're going to plant insect hotels and make sure the insects are fed during the winter.
I'd like to plant things after school and help the environment, flowers and a tree.
Yes, I'm learning that we need to recycle more so we can help the environment and the oceans, pollution and stuff.
We're learning about plants today, like how like plants like can generate food.
The trees are really good, so you need to kind of protect the environment for the trees because they absorb CO2, so that's why it's really good to keep like all the plants and not like litter.
In geography, we learned a bit about being sustainable, and like we learned about like wind power and like all the powers and renewable energies. It's more environmental friendly and to be sustainable.
So when you're finished school, would you be interested in working in any job that protects the environment? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, it would definitely be like good to like help the environment and all. I'd probably do something like marine biology.
It has been really interesting to hear Dublin's young people share their thoughts on the environment. The decisions we make today will shape all of our tomorrows, and it's clear the next generation is already aware and engaged with the challenges ahead.
Sunshine's Jane McNamara, and continuing the theme of working professionally in the areas of climate action, sustainability, helping the environment, I'm joined now by sustainability journalist Joe Linehan to talk more about this subject. Joe, thank you for taking the time to chat with us this morning. I recently read research which suggests that 85% of people would consider a job, or indeed a career, where the primary focus is protecting the planet and the environment. Is that correct?
It's true, Carol. How wonderful is that? That was research that was done by Matrix Recruitment, and really they wanted to find out what were people's attitudes to careers in sustainability, in the environment, in climate, and they were overwhelmingly positive. And one of the things I really think that this comes down to, it wasn't in the research, but this would be from my own experience chatting to experts, is so many of us feel powerless in the face of a climate crisis, and young people are disproportionately affected by the news media, by all these worries about the climate, and so many young people really want to make a difference. And one of the ways that we can do that, or young people can do that, is to become you know, active in climate action through their career. And, you know, that doesn't mean that you need to work exclusively in climate. It can mean something as small as starting a green team wherever your job is, maybe starting a volunteer group. There are so many ways to get involved, but it's one of the great ways, if you do feel that climate anxiety, you are worried about your job long term, looking at jobs in the environment and climate, because they're only going to become a lot more needed. I mean, there's been research done by the IDA that shows that by 2050, we're going to need twice as many jobs in green expertise than we'll actually have. So in terms of a job that could bring you a lot of personal fulfillment, can contribute to wider society, and can help you really be sure that your job is going to survive and thrive, green enterprise is a great thing to consider. And, you know, even if you look at the curriculum in schools now on the Leading Cert, we have sustainability modules. It's becoming that topic that is just filtered throughout the education system. It's not just this add-on anymore. So that is completely going to be reflected in the job. Now, the green job enterprises, you know, it's still a relatively new market, I would say, but there are huge opportunities, and colleges are really latching onto this. I mean, I went back to study myself in sustainability. All of the third level, you know, whether you're at PLC level, whether you're looking for apprenticeships, whether you're looking at getting a degree, there are those options available now. So certainly if people are going out, you know, and starting that journey, I would absolutely say, you know, ask about those green enterprises, what are your options? Is it something really practical, like working in horticulture, like working on, you know, gardens, that kind of thing? Is it something a little bit more tech focused? Are you going to get into green tech? Are you someone who's very practical and maybe you'd like to work in wind energy? There are so many options, and really it's about having the conversation and talking to those career guidance people and the people who are in the know to say, right, this is what I'm interested in, what are my options, where do I need to go from here?
And there's a number of free courses available now. I mean, I'm just looking at the AXA Climate School, which I'd never heard of.
This is a wonderful initiative. And what I would say to people at any age, if this is a conversation that has piqued your interest, before making that big investment of maybe going back to do a course or, you know, going back to college, which is a big undertaking, or perhaps maybe taking your first step in the door of a green career, try something like the AXA Climate School. This was founded in 2019 by AXA Insurance Group. And really what they wanted to do was educate the people who work in their company globally in their own specific areas. So there's HR, there's recruitment, there's logistics, everything. And they designed these free green courses for people who work for the company to log on and really get educated. It was so popular that they actually opened it up to other companies like L'Oreal, IBM, and now it's actually free, which is wonderful. So any individual who wants to go on and take a free a course can do it. And what I would say is that it's a really practical educational piece. You know, it's not just some kind of plithy, you know, how to recycle situation. It's really in-depth. It's wonderful. When I spoke to recruiters, they really said to me, the best way to get your foot in the door with a green career is to not leave your job and look elsewhere. Just build it into the career you already have. So I would highly recommend the AXA Climate Group. Just go to axaclimateschool.com and check out the courses and give it a go. Give it a try for free. It won't cost you anything. And again, Carol, you know, everyone's trying to make their CV stand out in such a competitive, job market out there. And what I would say is the research really shows that companies, local, international, they really want people who are interested in climate, because it's something that's coming down the track for all companies, all businesses. So even doing a couple of those AXA Climate courses and popping that in your CV, that could be the thing that really gives you the edge. So it's great. It's a free resource. You know, if you have a free afternoon or a weekend, give it a try for sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about apprenticeships, Jo, that are on offer?
This is something that I think is really exciting, because there's still so much focus put on academic studies. And as someone who's very practical, I really needed practical experience. You know, when I started my career, I got an internship in magazines. That's how I started. And that's how my brain worked. So for other people who feel that way, there are fabulous apprenticeships available. One that I really want to highlight is the Ontario Education and Training Board, and they're offering a wind turbine maintenance technician program apprenticeship. Like, that is something that is going to just be so, so needed and required over the next 10, 20, 30, 100 years. Wind energy is part of Ireland's green energy transition plan. There are wind farms popping up all over the country, all over the isle. It's something that you could take internationally, which is amazing. So check out Kerry Education and Training Board. Again, a job that you can really rely will be there in the long term.
Okay, absolutely fantastic. So for anybody listening, Jo, who's thinking, do you know what? Maybe this is something now I should really consider looking at. Where would you suggest would be their first port of call? Because there does seem to be a lot of options out there.
So thankfully, gov.ie have a whole section dedicated to climate and green skills. And what they have there is all of the courses, all of the free training that you can do as part of the government, all of the things that you can look at. And it's a really one-stop shop. So go to gov.ie, look for climate and green skills, and you'll find a whole registry there. And that will really give you the starting point to get going.
Okay, fantastic. Jolene Hinn, always a pleasure to have you with us. Some very, very sound advice now you shared with us on the programme this morning. Jolene Hinn, sustainability journalist, thank you very much for sharing your time with us, Jo.
Thanks so much for having me.
If you just joined us, you're listening to Ours to Protect. I'm Carol Dooley, and this is the last episode in the current series. Very shortly, we'll be talking once again with Carol Sadlier from Pobblescull Nasson in Baldoyle about the school's commitment to sustainability, and also we'll be joined by four of their fifth year students to talk about the programmes that they are specifically interested in and involved with.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8, and the IBI is funded by Cumashun Naman with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
I'm Carol Dooley. Thanks for joining us this morning on this, the last episode in the current series of Ours to Protect. And if you were listening to the very first one back on May the 31st, you would have heard me chat with Carol Sadlier from Pobblescull Nasson in Baldoyle. I'm delighted to welcome Carol back to the studio this morning. And first, Carol, congratulations are in order, because when we spoke back in May, you were deputy principal of the school, and now you are principal, which is absolutely fantastic news. And I'm sure you must be delighted.
Yes, it's a real privilege to be leading a school. The school has 830 students in it, so it's a big responsibility. And I suppose I'm beginning to understand the weight of that responsibility now in a way I previously hadn't. But, you know, I'm putting the best foot forward. Like any transition, it comes with excitement and anxiety. And so I'm kind of wading my way through it at the moment. But ultimately, I believe I'm doing the right thing, and it's a privilege.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I am delighted for you. And when you were in the last time, you spoke at length about the school's commitment to sustainability, to protecting the environment, and you discussed so many different programmes that the school had in place. And you now as principal, this is something now which continues to be your baby.
Yeah, and as principal, I suppose you're always depending on the people around you. You know, like you have a very, very, I suppose a lot on your plate, you know. So while you can support and try to influence different initiatives that are going, you really are hugely reliant on the people that you're working with and the students that are in the school. So I really see that my role is to have my awareness attuned to what is out there, what projects, what initiatives, and to try to encourage students to believe that they have the agency to get involved in those and support it, you know. But truthfully, a lot of what has happened environmentally in the school is driven by students and supported by their teachers, obviously. And then me, I can support the students and the teachers, you know, by creating the time, the resources and that type of thing, and encouragement and acknowledgement and recognition of their work and what's happening, which is really, really important. And I think it fuels a lot of their motivation, you know.
Yeah. And we have four of your students with us this morning too, who are going to talk about how important it is to them and the various areas in the school that they're a part of.
Yeah.
One thing we did speak briefly about the last time too was the new Leaving Cert.
Yes.
Subject on climate action and sustainable development.
Yeah.
And as you said, your school is
a pilot school,
yeah.
Yes, in the country. I think it's one of 14 schools. Like, taking on a new subject where there's kind of uncharted territory is a challenge for Mr. Lyons. He's the teacher that actually volunteered to introduce it to the school. But he really believes that it's a vital subject moving forward for students. You know, I mean, even the title, Climate Action and Sustainable Development. And it's a deep dive into the Irish situation. And I just checked in with him, you know, last week to see how is it going. And he said that he can see the scales falling from the students' eyes as he reveals statistics about our river pollution or our air pollution and our targets set, you know, with the EU and how we're not matching with them. And he said it's having an activating effect on them, you know, and what they can do to address it. But the first thing is awareness. And so that's what it's really doing, you know, it's creating that awareness that things are not well and we are not coming up to the mark in terms of our agreements and our promises to the future generations, you know.
So you think that this pilot scheme now will become a reality?
100%.
This will be part of the curriculum?
100%. I mean, the feedback is that it's a very worthy subject, that it has huge merits, and that it's one of those subjects, I suppose, that has a moral kind of obligation attached to it in a way not every subject does, you know.
To go back to our Ours to Protect series, Carol, part of the series phase two was what we call a passive acoustic monitor, which we gave to you to put in your school. And this was given to us by the Harvard, the Metalab Harvard Climate Institute for Climate and Sound.
Yes.
Which sounds all very impressive, doesn't it? To monitor what they call ecological phenomena with regards to climate action. Just in case you're wondering what this is all about, have a little listen, because this is the sort of thing that this monitor picked up over the last few months. It's rather lovely, isn't it? Listening to the wood pigeons there. That taken from the recorder on August the 20th this year, recorded at 7 a.m. And this little piece of audio was recorded around about 11 o'clock. You can hear a little difference. Interesting, isn't it? And you know, there's so much going on around us that we hear but we don't actually listen to. But how does all that relate to the environment? Well, the audio taken from that recorder will be sent to the Harvard Institute and they will analyze what it all means. And then we'll look forward to sharing the results of that with you. Carol, we're going to bring in four of your students now. We have Rhian Fleming, Luke Houghton, Darren Nolan Brady and Arthur Cash with us, all fifth year students. Can I start with you, Rhian? How you feel about the school's commitment to climate action, protecting the environment, the programmes they have in place and the particular areas of programmes as a part of that, that you are specifically involved with?
I think the school has made a really good push in recent years towards like progress and towards working with even just local community organizations and getting the students involved in progressing our like local ecosystem has been really important to us. Like I've been involved in obviously the Young Environmentalists and a lot of our work there was with all of the other school organizations and spreading awareness. We worked with the student council to bring in the return scheme bins all over and just with the Ember team for the clothes swap. So overall, we worked very closely to just, you know, kind of keep that momentum going and to make sure everyone knew what they could do to help their local community and how that intertwined with the school. It's very, very important to all of us in the group and just in general to remember that we're with nature and that we need to kind of have that respect for it. And so I think as we all go on into sixth year and into college, it's something we're all kind of really keeping with us. And I think the Young Environmentalist Program really helped bring that out in us and really helped having those breaks from the classroom in TUI where you're not doing as much work. So you're able to take those time and go out and work with nature and really feel you're helping nature rather than using it. Kind of one with it. And I felt like that was a very positive experience for so much of us
absolutely,
that we're going to keep with us.
Absolutely, 100%, 100%. Now, I know Carol spoke when she was in last time about the great pond that the school has. And Luke and Arthur, who are with us this morning, I know that this is something that you are very much involved with and committed to. So can I start with you, Arthur? Why did you decide to do this in the first place?
We looked at kind of what's going on in our local ecosystem. And we're in Baldoyle, which is quite close to the coast, next to Bull Island, which is a protected area. Our school's right next to parks, you know, so we would have thought that the biodiversity in our area would have been quite strong. However, we realised that freshwater, streams, ponds, rivers in our area are actually very polluted. And that's very bad for like local animals because they need somewhere to go drink and they can't drink the salt water from the sea. So we thought, what could we do to help? And we decided on the pond. We found some great resources about building a wild pond for nature and the positive effects it has, because it allows animals to drink, also allows like microorganisms, plants, insects, which otherwise wouldn't be in the area, to spawn. And it's just filling a very important gap that was left after a lot of the pollution and construction over ponds
fantastic.
And rivers and streams in our area.
More power to you. And Luke, it must have been quite a big job to build this pond. How did you fit that in around all your schoolwork and everything?
One of the hardest parts was fitting around the schoolwork. But we managed to find times where we could get together and work together to build the pond. And that really worked well for us. There was about seven of us involved.
And how long did it take for you to do it?
From around December to April, I would say, was our time of working.
And is it something then that you're all out there like every day or once a week or once a month now? The school year has started, that you keep an eye on it, or how does all that work?
Because we're in fifth year now, we don't really have the time to, but because of the work we did, we put posters, we did announcements, we spoke to students, and I think at one point we even got some third years in to do a workshop with SEAO about sustainability. We kind of like encouraged them to carry on. We really feel that like we've kind of changed the attitude toward the environment. I mean, a lot of people would have felt that, you know, there's not really much you can do because, you know, I'm only one person. But I think we've kind of helped show that it can be done.
Can I bring Dara in now? Dara Nolan Brady, because Dara, you were involved with the Fox Den. This school, Pobl Scoil Nasan, is absolutely fantastic, I have to say, in all that the school does.
So we built a Fox Den with the help of our teacher, Mr. Blake's horticulture class, which is a TY module we do, and built it because we felt that while foxes aren't an endangered species, that's no reason to not protect their habitats and give them hope. We know it has worked because we have seen sightings of foxes, and we believe there is a family of foxes living in there. It's a safe home for them that they can live in.
Wow, it's incredible what you've done. And earlier on the programme this morning, we were speaking to Jo Linehan about careers in climate action, climate change, sustainability and all that. Guys, is this something that you might consider yourself down the line, do you think? Would this be important to you?
Yeah, I feel while a career in climate action isn't for me, I feel like I'm always going to have the climate and how it's changing in my mind from now on, really. I'm planning to go into computer science, and I feel like I'm definitely going to try and make my work more sustainable and try and work towards a kind of a healthier ecosystem.
Yeah, good for you. What about the rest of you? Whatever you decide to do with your lives, you're going to take those lessons with you in order to, even in your personal lives, live more sustainably.
Anna, I think that really is the crux of it. It's less about the entire career is focused around this, and doing this part has really opened our eyes. And it's about taking that forward. We're like, where everyone's going to take a different path through life. And it's now this responsibility that we've taken on around nature has really allowed us to carry that into whatever field we're planning to go to. Like Dara said, in computer science, around the rise of AI and the damage that can do to local, you know, ecosystems. All of us are going to take a small part of that with us and kind of spread that out, you know. We're really allowing that to become part of us, no matter what path we take through life.
Carol, can I bring you back on here now just to wrap this up? So impressed by your students, I have
to
say.
So am I. They're amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
A credit to you, a credit to your school.
Well, they're a credit to their teachers and to their parents, obviously, and their families. But I would have to mention Miss Cathy Banks, who is the proponent and the inspirer behind the Young Environmentalists, and Mr. Blake as well, for his investment in horticulture and ecosystems around the school. He was the guy who's behind all the planting of the trees and much, much more. So truthfully, they deserve a lot of the credit, and the students, of course.
Well, more power to all of you, and it's just fantastic to hear what your school is doing. And I'm going to assume so many schools around the country are following suit and doing their own work.
I have absolutely no doubt that there's great work happening in every school around the country, and we've just had an opportunity to highlight ours, but we are particularly proud of our own, needless to say.
Of course you are. And so you should be too. So you should be. Carol Sadler, who is the principal at Pobl Scoil Nasan in Balldoyle. Also a big thank you to Rhian Fleming, Luke Houghton, Dara Nolan Brady and Arthur Cash, fifth year students at the school. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing your time with us this morning. A pleasure to talk with you all. Thank you. Isn't it incredible and so reassuring to hear about the wonderful work that's going on at our schools? And what a positive note to wrap up this morning's edition of Ours to Protect, and indeed Series 2 as well. I'm Carol Dooley. Thank you to our guests. Thank you for listening. And can I just add that over the last 6 months since we began Series 2, we've had some fascinating conversations, learning about everything from the Picker Pals initiative that we alluded to earlier on, to fast fashion, how to shop and dress more sustainably, the Clean Coast programme, the great work that Quiltshire are undertaking, and so much more. If you missed any of our previous episodes, you can listen back right now on the Sunshine website, sunshineradio.ie. And indeed, you can find out more about the Ours to Protect initiative on our website and on the Ours to Protect website too.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Sunshine 106.8. And the IBI is funded by Cumashun Naman with the television license fee. Check out OursToProtect.ie for more info.